Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
A few weeks ago, I promised you 5 weeks in a row on the Bread of Life discourse. And so we come to the fourth week, and our Lord is telling us, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And that life that God gives us through Jesus Christ, hopefully in our minds, as I hold up for you the death that entered the world in the Garden of Eden. Remember Adam and Eve? They ate and they died. And now that's contrasted with what Jesus gives. Eat this and you will live. And so we have the antidote to the death that entered the world by humanity's sin. The bread of life. We need to be nourished. We need to be strengthened. We need in the battle that we all face. You know, all of sacred scripture can be summed up in two words. The whole of Bible and all of God's revelation, two words. What two words, you think? You know, don't yell them out loud, but two words. God wins. God wins. We have to let that truth sink in. God wins. Life wins. Jesus wins. The truth wins. I would have preferred to preach the entire sermon tonight on the Bread of Life discourse, but I really feel like I need to take a few minutes and address the unfortunate news that's kind of been bombarding the world about the church and the grand jury in Pennsylvania. And many of you are familiar with that, and if you're not, well, that's okay too. I'm going to read a statement by the bishop towards the end of my remarks, but I begin with this truth, right? God wins, right? The truth wins. There is no greater gift. There is no greater gift than to be able to lead others to Jesus Christ. There is no greater gift. In a real, very real way, there is no worse sin than to sin against a child or to sin against someone's trust that leads them away from God. I am brokenhearted, and I know many of you are brokenhearted. I suppose when we look at this circumstance, we should and we could examine the psychological or the sociological or the cultural components, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to one word, and that one word is evil. That there is evil in the world, and we are in a spiritual battle. It is not as if evil just attacked the church from the very beginning. When St. Paul went all around the Mediterranean Sea, establishing Christian communities in Ephesus, where we heard his letter back to today, in Corinth, in Galatia, and other places, and he writes to them. And in one case, in the Acts of the Apostles, he's standing before a huge crowd of people that he has evangelized and that he has taught, and he's seen a vision, and he knows in his vision that he will never see these people again. He knows that he's going to be arrested and he's going to be martyred, and he looks out at the crowd in front of him and he says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you and they will not spare the flock. And St. Paul's words have come to pass. And in every generation, we have to be on guard against evil. Last week, I spoke to you about the prophet Elijah. You remember that? Elijah confronted the false and evil prophets of Baal, whose temples were full of prostitutes and sexual misconduct. He confronted corrupt leadership and King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, and he was on the run. I spoke about Elijah being tired. Tired. Tired of the fight. Tired of resisting false prophets. I'm tired. I know you're tired too. Many of you are. But we have to hear the words of the angel, right? Get up. Get up and go. Continue. In the Gospel of John, we're reading through the Bread of Life discourse. In the Gospel of John, next week, a new character is going to be brought onto the stage. Next week will be the first mention of Judas. Judas, who was at the Last Supper with Jesus. Judas, whose feet were washed by Jesus. Judas, who traded the glory of God for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, who was a weed among the wheat. Judas, whom Jesus chose, he called, and he died for. Judas, who received Holy Communion from the very hand of Jesus at the first Eucharist ever. Judas, who is sadly alive and well in men who pretend to be a friend of Jesus, but are not. In a few minutes from now, I'm going to pray the Eucharistic prayer at the altar. I'm going to pray Eucharistic prayer number 2 tonight. And as I prepare to enter into the prayers of consecration, I will remind you all, and we will be reminded, that it was on the night that Jesus was betrayed, that he was betrayed. Wolves, false prophet, Judas, betrayal. How do these things happen? I suppose we could examine the sociology and the psychology, but it's not a syndrome. It's sin, mortal sin, deadly sin, sin that leads to hell, sin that far too many people want to pretend doesn't exist, sin that often, too often, preachers are afraid to talk about. You know, say Sister Faustina, Saint Faustina. I came across this quote recently from St. Faustina, and when I read it, it moved me, and I hope it moves you, and I hope it sheds some light into your heart on how the church is attacked from within and from without. St. Faustina said, "I know the greater and the more beautiful the work is, the more terrible will be the storms that rage against it." Let me repeat that. I know that the greater and more beautiful the work is, the more terrible will be the storms that rage against it. There is nothing more beautiful than to lead someone to Jesus Christ. There is nothing more beautiful than the faith that we have been given. There is nothing more beautiful than to know Jesus Christ and to speak to others of our love for him. God the Father and Creator of all, who seeks the lost. Jesus, who in obedience to the Father and in love for all of humanity experienced the punishment that makes us whole. Jesus, who took upon himself our sins and gave us his life. God, who in the great exchange gives us the bread of life and takes away condemnation. There is nothing more beautiful than this. This is the greatest story ever told, and it is a true love story. St. Faustina said, "I know that the greater and more beautiful the work is, the more terrible will be the storms that rage against it." I heard somebody comment about the whole situation. They stole my Catholic faith. They stole my Catholic faith. Now, this was a man who came back to the church. There is no greater sin than to steal somebody's faith and relationship, to lead them away from God and the truth. Jesus was not naive about the challenges that we would face, that the world would face, that the church would face, and the consequences. I'm going to read to you a little section from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, this is Jesus speaking. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown into the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause sin. Such things are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. And then our Lord goes on to speak about Gehenna and the fire. How could this happen? Because people are deceived and they deceive others. And there is evil in the world and there is a spiritual battle and you're in it. You know why I want to pray this St. Michael prayer at the end of Mass? You know why I want to pray that prayer? You know why I want to lead you all in that prayer? Because we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. And there can be no ignorance about it. There can be no denial of it. There can be no hushing it over. We must recognize the battle that we face every day, the beauty of our faith. And I think some people, in an skewed attempt to protect the beauty of the church, are misguided and blind and sick. And that's all part of the deception. We're in a spiritual battle. And we should be angry. And we should have hatred. But our enemy is not flesh and blood. It is evil and Satan. Our enemy is not people. It is spiritual. It is satanic. My brothers and sisters in Christ, the whole Bible can be summed up in two words. What two words? God wins. St. Paul says, and I know this is a powerful concept and a difficult concept, we know that all things work for good for those who love God. That is our faith. That is our hope. The greater and more beautiful the work is, the more terrible will be the storms that rage against it.